Along with the things already said, I express my appreciation for your being with us this afternoon. I encourage you to get your Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. We'll be reading the first 9 verses as a beginning for our study today. As Moses exhorts the Lord's people to love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and unto their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong, and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. That's the first 9 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 11. As Moses exhorts the Lord's people to keep the commandments of the Lord, he impresses Israel with the great acts of the Lord. And I'd like to call those acts to our attention this afternoon. The first great act that he talks about is the act that is done in the midst of Israel. Notice in verse 3, he mentions his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. This takes us back to the book of Exodus. You recall that the Lord's people are in Egyptian bondage, and because of the oppression and affliction of the people, they cry out to the Lord. The Lord hears their cry. And he appears to Moses in a burning bush that was not consumed and called him to be the leader of the people by which they would be brought forth out of their bondage. As Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh, Pharaoh makes the mistake of not knowing who the Lord is. He said in chapter 5 and verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And through a series of great acts, the Lord demonstrates just who he is and his great power. The first great act of the Lord that was performed in Egypt was when all the waters in the river of Egypt were turned to blood. Notice in Exodus chapter 7 and in verse 17, the Lord said, "In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians are loath to drink of the water of the river." And in verse 20, Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that was in the river died and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine trying to get yourself a glass of water, and all that you find instead of water is blood. All the water has turned to blood. What a great act the Lord performed to demonstrate just who he was among the Egyptians. And then another great act in Egypt was performed when the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Notice in chapter 8, beginning in verse 2, where the Lord said, "I'll smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants." In verse 6, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Do you like frogs? Can you imagine that many frogs covering all the land? And here you go to get a pan or a pot, and it's got frogs in it, and you open your oven, it's full of frogs. Frogs everywhere. What a great act that was performed by the Lord. Another great act of the Lord in the midst of Egypt occurs in chapter 8, when in verse 17, Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, And it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, in this chapter, drop down with me now to verse 21, where the Bible says, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. And in verse 24, there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Can you imagine having this swarm of flies being a corruption to the land? Your house being full of flies? You think of one fly sometimes, how pesky that is. And here you've got a whole house full of flies everywhere. A great act of the Lord was when there came a grievous swarm of flies. Another great act in the midst of Egypt was when there was a very grievous murrain of cattle. In chapter 9, in verse 3, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There should be a very grievous murrain. And this came to pass, according to verse 6, when the Bible says, the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. And so here all of the livestock of the Egyptians died. Their cattle, their horses, their donkeys, their camels, their oxen, and their sheep died from this grievous murrain of cattle. And then in chapter 9, notice in verse 10 where the Bible says, ashes of the furnace were taken and sprinkled up toward heaven, and it became a boil, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. There was a very grievous hail that was performed by the Lord. As you drop down to verse 23, Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Following the hail, we read where there was a plague of locusts. As you drop down to the book of Exodus chapter 10, notice verses 13 through 15, as Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them they were no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such, for they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. There remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you picture that? Can you imagine? So many locusts covering the land that is dark, and nothing green being left, because it's been eaten up by all of the locusts. And then in chapter 10, notice down at verse 21, when Moses was instructed to stretch out his hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. That's thick darkness. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. It was so dark they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Can you imagine it being pitch dark, so dark you can't see anybody? Darkness so thick that you could feel it. And not just for a minute or two or for an hour or two, but for 3 days, thick darkness. And then another great act of the Lord in the midst of Egypt was when at midnight all the firstborn in the land of Egypt died. This was the 10th and final plague that was brought upon the Egyptians. In chapter 12 and in verse 29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And so when Moses stood in the plains of Moab and exhorted the people of God to obedience, He reminded them of the great acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. That takes in those great acts from the waters being turned to blood to the death of the firstborn. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 4, he talks about some other great acts of the Lord. He talks about what he did under the army of Egypt, under their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. When you go back to the book of Exodus and you find the Lord's people being thrust out of Egypt after that 10th plague, we find that Pharaoh has a change of heart. He begins to pursue after the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14. In verses 8 and 9, where the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. The children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. And so with 600 chariots, Pharaoh pursues after the Israelites. In verse 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." At verse 21, we read where Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came in the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Moses reminds the Lord's people of that occasion. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine seeing that great act of the Lord? Here you are fleeing from the Egyptians, and you have the Egyptians behind you, and you've got the Red Sea before you. And they began to cry out in the Lord, and the Lord makes provision for them to cross on dry ground. Can you imagine seeing those waters part and the bed, the base of that sea beginning to dry and walking across that on dry ground? And then as you make your way across, you see the Egyptians coming, and then those walls of water collapsing upon them, and seeing the Egyptians dead on the seashore. What a great act of the Lord as they pursued, and the Lord destroyed them unto this day. And then he makes mention of other great acts in verse 5 of Deuteronomy 11. He talked about what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. There are a number of great acts that we read about in the wilderness wandering period. We might think about as they had just left 3 days' journey. In Numbers chapter 11, they come to a place called Taberah, and the people begin to complain. Imagine that. They've just seen the fact that they are leaving from Kadesh, and the Bible says the people complained. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Numbers 11 and in verse 1. They've just gone about 3 days. As you back up to chapter 10, he mentions the fact that it was just 3 days' journey. In verse 1, they departed from the Mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And so here they've come from the Mount of the Lord, from Sinai, 3 days, and they start complaining. The Lord heard their complaint. It displeased the Lord, and the fire of the Lord burnt among the people. Those that were in the uttermost parts of the camp perished in that burning fire. But then also in Numbers chapter 11, we read where they've come to a place called Kibroth-Hettavah. It's here that the people lust for meat. They wept again in verse 4, saying, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" The fire of the Lord has just burnt among the people for complaining. And here they begin to complain again. And God decides to send quail. Notice in verse 19, they had asked for meat or flesh. And the Lord said, "He'll give you flesh to eat." And he said, "You shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" In verse 31, "There went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth." What a great sight. Can you imagine? All these quail coming in by the Lord, and 2 cubits. You take from your elbow to the tip of your finger and take that times 2. You think about how deep that was. A day's journey on each side. That's a lot of quail, isn't it? The people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And they called the name of that place Kibroth-Hettavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. What a great act that was performed by the Lord on that occasion. Another great act was performed in the book of Numbers in chapters 12 through 14, when there were 12 spies that were sent to search the land of Canaan. 10 of those spies came back with an evil report. The Bible says in verse 32, "The land through which we have gone to search it as a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And because of this evil or slanderous report, the people became discouraged, and they started complaining. "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness?" In verse 2. Joshua and Caleb stilled the people. They had a different spirit about them. They said, "The Lord is with us. Fear them not." But the congregation bade stone them with stones in verse 10. The Lord was so disgusted with this evil report and the complaining of the people that came as a result, it grieved him so much that he declared that they would all die. Notice in verses 29 and 30, where the Lord said, "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell in, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun." And then down at verse 36, "The men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord." In Numbers 20, there's another great act of the Lord when water is brought forth for the people. The people were wandering. They've come to Kadesh where Miriam died. There was no water for the congregation, and the Lord instructed Moses to speak to the rock. He took the rod and smote the rock. He took glory upon himself along with Aaron as he spake unadvisedly with his lips, saying, "Must we fetch you rebels water out of this rock?" In verse 10. But notice how the Lord in this great act provided water for the people's thirst. The Bible says in verse 11, the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And so he brought forth water abundantly out of the rock to quench the thirst of his people. Also in the wilderness, another great act of the Lord was when the fiery serpents were sent among the people. In Numbers chapter 21. Here the people have just left that situation where they were in Kadesh, and you think about being fresh upon their mind, or it should have been, about what had taken place with Moses and the rock, and now they've come unto Mount Hor. And in Numbers chapter 21, as they journey from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass land of Edom, the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Can you imagine being there and seeing all these fiery serpents? And much people of Israel dying as a result of that. That's a great act of the Lord that was sent because of the complaining of the people of the Lord. And the people came and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people, and Moses was instructed to take a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And those that would look to that serpent of brass would live. And that looked forward to the day when Christ would be lifted up on the cross. And those who look to him today can live. Other great acts of the Lord would include the defeat of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, in Numbers chapter 21, verses 21 through 35. And so Moses reminded Israel what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. He did a lot during that wandering time. And then the next great act that he makes mention of in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 6 is what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben. I take us back to the book of Exodus, or Numbers rather, in the book of Numbers chapter 16, where we find Korah along with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, leading a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, God's appointed leadership, along with 250 princes of the assembly. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Notice how Moses turns the table on these rebels. In verse 7, he said, "Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi," and he asked them the question in verse 9, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" He said in verse 10, "Seek ye the priesthood also." They had a place, they had a role, but it appears that they weren't content with God's place, with God's size. And there may be those today even who are not content with the place, the role that they've been given. And they seek something else. They want to take on something else. He said, "You take too much upon you." And then in verse 28, when Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Can you imagine being there on that occasion and seeing these men that had led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron And as soon as Moses made an end of speaking, here the ground begins to open up, and you see these men and their families and their houses, everything that pertains to them going down and being consumed. And the 250 men that offered incense, being consumed by fire, seeing the fire come out of heaven and devouring these men. Moses reminded them of these great acts. He said, "Your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which He did." What great acts? Those great acts that were done in the midst of Egypt. Those great acts that were done under the army of Egypt. How they were overthrown in the midst of the sea, and there remained not so much as one of them. Those great acts in the wilderness that we've just called to our attention. And that great act that took place unto Dathan and Abiram. And then he says in verse 8, "Therefore," what's the result of all this? Why consider this? What should a consideration of the great acts of the Lord result in? "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong, and go in and possess the land, whither you go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey." And so, a consideration of the great acts of the Lord should result in keeping the commandments of the Lord, being strong, being granted entrance into the land, possessing the land, and prolonging your days. And I recommend to us that when we consider the great acts of the Lord today, that we think about those things that the Lord did in Egypt, under the army of Egypt, in the wilderness, as we've been studying. We just talked about how the earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and Abiram. A consideration of those great acts should result in the same things for us today. It should cause us to keep all the commandments of the Lord. You think about who the Lord is, His great power. Why would you not want to keep His commandments? The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and then verse 13. John said, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." Revelation 22 and verse 14. And when we are inspired by these great acts, it'll help us to be strong. God wants us to be strong. He said in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Sometimes we're weak because we're lacking in appreciation for the great acts of the Lord. And when we become weak, we're not as strong as we need to be. We'd do well to remind ourselves of the great acts of the Lord. He talked about going in and possessing the land. We have a land to possess, don't we? That's heaven. Our heavenly land is what we're looking forward to. And our going in and possessing that is going to hinge upon our respect for the Lord. And that's going to be inspired by appreciation for the great acts of the Lord. Heaven is the home of the soul. Heaven is our Canaan land. And then he said that you may prolong your days. Sometimes our days may be cut short because we don't really appreciate who the Lord is. We don't have enough respect for the Lord or for His great acts. And so I hope that through this brief study this afternoon, that as Israel was stimulated to keep the Lord's commandments, that they might be strong, possess the land, and prolong their days, that a consideration of the great acts of the Lord will motivate us to keep His commands, to be strong, that heaven may be our home, and that our days may be prolonged. There may be those among us this afternoon who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. Would you do that this afternoon? Would you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Would you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and then be baptized into Christ for remission of your sins. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been living like you should, and you realize through our study the fact that the Lord is great, He's terrible, He is great in power, and because of His great acts, I need to do what He says. And you'd like to make your desires known this afternoon, maybe by asking for the prayers of the church. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you. We invite you to come now as together we stand and sing. Someday you'll stand at